in your groups? Did you find yourself praying anything interesting that it, were you surprised by anything that came out in the prayers that you prayed? Is that anything important or remarkable came up that you feel like you want to share? In our group, God had us pray blop, or I heard this prayer come out and it sounded important to me. Anybody have anything? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Right. Individual repentance starts individually. That the revival comes when we repent. When we submit to what God wants to do in us. That's absolutely, completely true. And so God actually put a verse on my heart while I was praying up here about that. It's from 1 John, I think it's from 1 John, in chapter 2, 3, where John says this: happy is the person whose heart does not condemn him in the things he approves. Think about that. Happy is the person whose heart does not condemn him in the things he approves. That's just a fancy Bible way of saying where you are spiritually when your conscience doesn't keep nagging you about stuff that you've given yourself permission to do, but you really, really know deep down that you shouldn't be doing it. You've got a zillion different reasons for why it's okay, in at least in this one instance or in this one situation. Yes, I know that the Bible probably says I shouldn't be doing this. Yes, I know that if I was really 100% a super strong Christian, I wouldn't be doing this. But I'm not a super strong Christian, and my life is terrible right now. And it's just going to be for a little while, and then I'll get it together, and I'll get stronger, but anyhow. So we have a stronghold. And we have an explanation for why it's okay. But and we even kind of come to the point, you all know how this feels. We come to a point where we're almost at peace with the fact that we feel like we've talked ourselves and we've talked God into being okay with it. And for 2-3 days, it's all right. You know, I'm just okay being in this place. But the Holy Spirit just won't leave you alone about it. And it's like, and every time you find yourself having to re-explain it to yourself or re-explain it to the Holy Spirit or re-explain it to even somebody else, you know you are not where you're supposed to be. Is God mad at you? No. Is he worried about you? Yes. Because he knows, I'm going to talk about sin in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to get off on this track now, but anything that isn't God's best is going to end up coming back to bite you. It's going to separate you. One way or another, you're being separating yourselves from God's best. And even though you think it's okay, God knows more than you do, and he knows that it's not okay. It's not okay. But I'm not hurting anybody else. You understand that God's concerned when you're hurting you. That when you're making choices that aren't It's not like God goes, I'm so offended and my holiness can't be around you because you're embarrassing me. And I'm going to have to like cause a bus to run over you or drop a piano. No, it's God's biggest concern about sin is that it damages us. It damages people around us. The choices that we make are damaging us. They're also damaging people around us, whether we know it or not. And depending on what it is, it will eventually get out and dishonor the kingdom, and cause perhaps the name of the Lord to be dishonored because you, somebody who bears His name, are doing things that everybody in the whole world knows that Christians aren't supposed to do. You've just talked yourself into thinking that it's okay. And so at that point, you know, it says in the Bible that things that are whispered in silence will be shouted from the rooftops, and things that are done in darkness will eventually be revealed to everybody. You can't keep secrets. And you're hurting yourself, you're hurting other people, you could be damaging the reputation of the Lord, and it will come out. It will come out. And so we're talking about revival. Revival comes when I'm honest with Jesus about the lies I've been telling myself. When I'm honest with Jesus about the games that I've been playing. When I'm honest with Jesus about the excuses that I'm using to do things that don't give honor to Him. Happy is the person whose heart does not condemn him in the things he approves. You quit making excuses and you quit saying, next week things will be better. Next month things will be better. Next year things will be easier. Next year everything will all come together and I can, you know, I'll let go of this thing and then it'll be whatever it is. You're still hurting yourself. You're still potentially hurting other people. Still dishonoring the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of God can't flow in your life. One of the biggest things that quenches the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we give ourselves permission to do things that we know we're not supposed to do. In the kingdom of God, we know we're not supposed to do them. We're not talking about do better, try harder here. We're just talking about the fact that if you love me, you'll let those things go. Because I know, even if you're not willing to admit it, I know they're hurting you, and I want to help you be set free from them. I want to help you be set free. That's where revival comes. Revival doesn't come because we have a great praise and worship band, or we have a great teacher who comes and does great preaching. Revival comes when individual believers quit lying to themselves and making excuses and pretending. Sometimes I know that to God it looks like we're all going around going, yeah, la 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 la. Because the Holy Spirit is always here going, and we might say, gee, Lord, you really need to do something about that cough. No. It's just, we all make excuses to hold on to the things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but it's okay for us, just for, at least for now. And that stops the power of God from flowing in the richness. That stops God from bringing revival the way He wants to bring it. And when you see, every revival in history starts with people coming forward and repenting and letting go and surrendering to Jesus. Gina Hall and I were having a short text conversation this week about, what was the word? Congealed? Yeah, it was coagulation. Coagulation. that most churches, the Spirit of God is coagulated. It's congealed. It's just the Spirit can't move because hearts are hardened. Stiff and hard. Coagulate. Stiff and hard. And that's what... And you understand, that can all... You can have a completely coagulated church in the Spirit with no revival, even though you've got people singing, you know, whatever great... You know, you can sing songs and you can pray and you can do all these things. The difference between revival and not revival is hearts that are softened and hearts that are surrendered. You okay with that? You with me? That wasn't even on my notes for today, but as we're praying for revival, you understand that you can't legitimately, honestly, authentically pray for revival in everybody else until you're willing for revival to happen in your heart. And I know we're afraid, but I don't. I'm not ready to surrender that. I don't know what I would do. It's just too hard. You know, we can sit right there and we can look Jesus right in the eye and say, Jesus, I know. Just give me a chance. But we're afraid of what will happen next, and so we just freeze. And Jesus just wants you to jump. Jesus wants you to jump. Just jump into his arms, jump into the deep end of the pool, just jump. Just let it go and just jump and see what he does. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I'm gonna pray. And I'm going to just give you an opportunity right now. If the Holy Spirit's poking you in some area, If you've heard that, I'm just going to give you a moment. If the Lord has just prompted you right now that it's time, and even while I was saying that, while I was giving that little sermonette, you were saying, no, I don't want to talk about this right now. But you know the Holy Spirit's talking to you. I want to give you a moment to say, yes, God. Yes, God. Lord, I hear your voice. Lord, forgive me for resisting your voice in this area. Lord, forgive me for arguing with you about this thing. Lord, forgive me for making excuses. Lord, forgive me for blaming other people. Lord, forgive me for ignoring you and hiding from you when this comes up. Lord, forgive me from keeping this part of my life held apart from you. Lord, forgive me for not trusting you with this area of my life and keeping it for myself. Lord, I give it to you now. And I'll do whatever you want. Give me grace. Give me strength to walk in obedience to you in this area. create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence, Lord. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Change my heart, O God, and make me new. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you, in some way, shape, or form, found yourself praying that prayer about something in your life, I want you to just stand up. You're not to tell anybody what it was, what it is, what it was about. But if you found yourself praying that prayer in some area of your life, just as an act of faith and a testimony to the Lord, here I am. Just stand up right now. Don't look around and see who's standing up. Just stand up. It's you. Father, we feel a little bit exposed right now as we're standing here. We know everybody's looking at us and thinking, what was that about? And do they have some kind of spiritual cooties and it's going to get on us? And but Lord, this is a small little act of faith. Change us, Lord. Give us the courage to trust you. Give us the courage to obey you. Give us hope and renew our faith in this area that we could have the joy of our salvation would just be bubbling over. Lord, we trust you to take this thing and walk us out of it now. We rip it to shreds. We pound it to dust. We stomp it into the ground. We set it on fire. We blow the ashes away. And Lord, please take the energy. Please take the time and the energy and the emotions that we've been investing in this thing, whatever it is, and redeem it and turn it into something that you could use for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And depending on what it is, if there's anybody in the world that you, besides Jesus, that you really, really trust, and you want to go to that person and say, here's the thing that I gave to the Lord today, and I want you to pray for me and help me to be accountable. If that's something you want to do, might not be a bad idea. Just so you have somebody else praying for you. But That's. Were you raving? And so that's so important because, you know, we're passionate about helping people to understand that in Jesus you are deeply loved of God, and you are fully accepted by God, and you are completely and permanently forgiven by God, and you are lavishly blessed by God, and you are eternally embraced by God as His child who brings Him unspeakable joy, and all those things are true. But if you're also involved in something that you know is dishonoring to God, then you automatically look, you can't look at yourself as being this person that Jesus loves. You can only look at yourself as this person who is screwed up and is continuing to screw up and is in rebellion. And so that steals the gift that God wants to give you. I'll give you this one little piece of my sin sermon that I'm going to preach in a couple of weeks. All those things, if you're in Jesus, all those things I just said are true. And so sometimes the devil will kind of trick people by doing this. So, all right, so all those things are true, permanently forgiven, deeply loved, all those things are true. So I am doing this bad thing. But God's going to love me anyhow, and God's going to forgive me anyhow, and so it's all good, right? I mean, I'll get it together at some point. It's all good. Eventually I'll stop doing those things, and I'll be more committed to doing everything that will give God glory and all that stuff. It's just that right now, I'm so glad I'm forgiven because I'm still doing this. I feel kind of really bad about it. But let's suppose that thing, and I don't know what your thing is, but let's suppose that thing is that you are shooting up heroin. And heroin's kind of expensive. And so in order to support your heroin habit and be able to get your hit at a discount, you're also selling heroin. But I'm deeply loved by God, and I'm permanently and completely forgiven by God, and I'm accepted by God, and I'm all those things. And so it doesn't matter to God, right? Wrong. Let's make a list of all the reasons why, even though you are deeply loved by God and permanently and completely forgiven by God and fully accepted by God and lavishly blessed by God and eternally embraced by God as his child who gives him all. Why, even though all those things are true, God still cares that you not do heroin. What kind of things could we put on that list? Yes. Heroin's going to probably kill you. But in the hospital, or you'll be in jail. You're going to be around people who could kill you. And as a dealer, you are ruining other people's lives. Can you see? And this is an extreme example, right? Joy, I didn't mean to. If you're still selling heroin to people, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring you out. The point is that sin is bad. It's bad for you. It's bad. It's bad for you. It's bad for people. Now some of you are thinking, well, right, but I'm not doing heroin. I'm doing something else, but it's not as bad as heroin. But that doesn't change the point. Doesn't change the point that if God is saying, you know, I don't think you should be doing that, and you're going, well, but I want to. I don't want to change right now. I don't think I can change, and I don't know what I'd do if I did. I mean, when it's hurting you, and because it's still hurting you, God says you still, yes, you're forgiven. Now stop it. The kindness of God is what leads you to repentance. The kindness and mercy of God is what leads you to repentance. And so, it's still a thing. And all God wants to do is set you free of it and give you joy and peace and hope and like you've never had before. So, obviously, I'm not going to preach my other sermon today, which is fine with me, because it means I don't have to. Yeah? Well, that's it all. Yeah. Renewing in the mind. So now we're getting farther into my sermon on sin, But let's just go ahead and put a bow on that because it's important. When Jesus says repent, what does the word repent? Yeah, metanoia, change the way you think, which changes your direction. Go away from the thing that you are doing that you know that the Holy Spirit's been saying you shouldn't do, and go towards the thing that Jesus wants you to do, even though it's hard and scary and difficult. And change your understanding of the gospel from fear and punishment to love and forgiveness as you make that turn. It's all about renewing the mind so that you see and understand everything differently. So this is all hard, right? It's all hard. And it's all hard until you say, Jesus, I surrender. I'll do what you want. Once you say that, you may not know what you're going to do next, but you do know it's going to be better than where you were. So, yes, ma'am. You're right. So we're going to have communion now, and during this time of communion, I want you to meditate on all of this. And I know some of you stood up. You've now crossed into some different territory, but my hunch is that the Holy Spirit is now asking you to do some things differently. And you have to, during this communion time, one of the things you may want to be talking to Him about is, are you willing to do the things differently that He's asked you to do? He'll give you the strength. He will meet every need to help you make the change. But you have to decide whether you're willing to do whatever it is He asks you to do next. And if you need somebody to pray with you after the service this morning, anybody who needs extra prayer for this, we'll just stay here and pray for you. Because that's more important than anything else.